I'm never going to take any credit for my players' successes. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not going to take any credit for their failures either. Right. So if you go out there and do a half-assed job, like I'm not going to, like, that's on you. Right. And the same way where if you go out there and all of a sudden you're an all-star, like, cool, you did that.
Hello and welcome to the Gestalt Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler White. In this interview, we talk with Josh Kiesel. He's the co-founder and director of performance for Premier Pitching and Performance out of St. Louis, Missouri. Josh is going to talk a little bit about his background. We're going to learn a little bit more about himself, about P3, what he's bringing to the World Pitching Congress, and also learn a little bit more about his facility, which will be our host for the first annual World Pitching Congress. So we're definitely excited about that. Without much further ado, here's Josh Kiesel. All right, here we go. First one. This is Tyler White here with Gestalt Performance, also co-founder of the World Pitching Congress. So we're going to be recording, or at least we're going to try to record every one of the presenters here for the event coming up in January. I said January really weird there. Disregard that. But I just want to kind of let everyone know a little bit more about everyone that's going to be presenting. Got a really elite group of people. Kind of more of a buildup of excitement just to hear a little bit more about what these guys know, more of their process or knowledge or experience, all the fun stuff, and just kind of get everyone ready and excited for January. So today we are actually starting with co-founder of P3, Josh Kiesel. So he's going to be running be holding the event at his facility, which is a fantastic place. It's going to be an amazing setup for everything. Josh, how are you?
Outstanding. I feel really good about being the first person on this lineup. Sets the bar nice and low. Everybody should be able to come up afterwards and just crush it.
There we go. There we go. So this is probably going to be awkward just because it's our first one. Don't really have the format down yet. Don't really have the questions down yet. We're sitting here actually in my living room. We just cooked a nice dinner, drinking a nice beer right now, just kind of loosen things up. So we'll just kind of flow with it. So give me kind of an idea or a little bit more of a foundation for what got you started.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess this goes back really when I first met Brian DeLunas, who's another speaker in this series. And we met coaching an organization here in St. Louis, and that was probably 2010, 11 or so. And so we started to work together for the next 3-4 years. And then in 14, we were really lucky enough to branch out on our own and start what is now Premier Pitching and Performance. And so it was always kind of in the background. We were kind of working towards a one-stop shop, you know, very comprehensive approach to pitching training. And our foundations were, you know, Brian on the pitching side and then myself on the performance side. And that was really the initial take there. And then we obviously wanted to expand to have a PT in-house and recovery components and, you know, nutrition and things like that we knew were extremely important. But that's kind of where it got started.
Cool. It's exciting stuff. Do you guys ever get crap from the P3 training facility out of Santa Monica?
Yeah.
Like they were like sending you, forms like, hey, you need to cease and desist.
Well, here's the thing. So we love those guys, right? Like, And they do a phenomenal job. I don't know them personally. We are Premier Pitching and Performance. So that's very clear. Like the P3 thing obviously was just a quick catch. Like it made sense and it was a little bit quicker than the, you know, whatever 35 letter setup there. But they're great. I think the only reason why they even know that we exist is because they use Simi as well. So
there you go.
Yeah, on the NBA side, I think. So again, they do great work out there, but we're half a country away, so I think we're good, but
should be okay.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that's not quite the type of people we are, right? Like we're all here to, make everyone better. So,
you mentioned the semi. So, tell a little bit more about that. I'm sure you know a select group of people know a little bit more, but I, you know,
yeah,
let's go more on that.
Yeah, no doubt. So, semi, the mocap company out of Germany. So we have purchased one of their eight camera markerless systems and have it in house now. And we are currently touring, not really touring. We've selected certain groups at the collegiate level and have partnered up with them to bring the mocap setup on campus and run our assessment process, but then also come back and reassess and put together player development plans with these schools. And so that's been a big piece for us. That's kind of what I'm on currently. Like I just got back a couple of days ago from Charlotte University. Shout out to Coach Woodard out there and the guys out in Charlotte, they're crushing it. And then we're headed down to Missouri State the first week of September. And we've got a couple other schools that are cooking, gotten approval from the baseball side of things. But as everyone knows, the giant of the NCAA is always looming, so you've got to make sure you jump through the proper hoops. So we're waiting for administration approval from a couple other really cool schools, and then fielding quite a bit of phone calls over the last week or two in regards to fall 2020, as we would really like to expand that program. And Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's always a quantity over quality. You know, quality over quantity conversation, of course. We, of course, have not strayed away from the quality over quantity piece. That's been a big focus for us, to make sure that we can handle, you know, what we're bringing in-house, and anything we take on out-of-house. We want to make sure that we do our best job with each individual. But I think if we, you know, this has kind of been in the works for a couple of years. We've had this idea, and we've really been kind of mapping it out, and Simi was a big piece to it. And once we kind of captured that, we were able to really put a good plan in place. And so far, rave reviews. I think you'll have to check with Coach Wooder, but we had a great time out there with those guys.
Yeah, they were pretty cool when they came into St. Louis, just chatting with them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Their staff is pumped. Just such a, you know, it's a buzzword at this point, but such a growth mindset, and they mean it, you know. I mean, they're on the right track. So, you know, I mean, I think you can tell that Coach Woodard and Tyler and Bo out there, they're all 100% on board with getting their players better and dedicating resources to it. And that's a big deal. I think that's going to speak volumes when it comes to the recruiting game. We all know that's a huge piece. And if I'm a player in 2019, and I'm coming up in high school, like, number one, I'm seeking out good information already, right? And so I'm probably at somewhere like a P3 or wherever. And if you can say, hey, no, these guys legit are dedicated to getting you better, and they're gonna put resources towards that, like, that speaks volumes.
Goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing I know that you mentioned earlier about the quality over quantity thing, that's huge. Like that, I get places need to make money to keep the lights on, but there are times where it's like, man, if you're not putting so much effort into the quality of your product, it's like, you hate to see it, because you know it can be done better. But yeah, that's something that I think should be greatly overappreciated, and I don't think it's one of those things that not enough people actually can recognize.
I think for us, I mean, over the years, of course, Brian and I had opportunities to put together, you know, a product and put it out there. And our thing was always, this is not a cookie cutter approach. And we just thought it was our responsibility to continue to preach that over 5 years and then some, and just really make sure that, you know, it's not that you're being a hypocrite, right? Because I get it. Again, you got that, you have the whole got to keep the lights on concept, but I think you keep the lights on by treating people like people, right? And so, like, if you take care of your guys in house, like, we get it all the time. They're like, man, how'd you, like, business wise, like, what, how'd you, you know, we kind of just lucked into the model that we just kept saying, like, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. Let's do this. And it just happened to be the right thing. Right. And so, people recognize that, and they say, man, these guys, you know, they're not full of it. They really do, you know, care about the player that comes in, and we're invested in those guys. And so when we see them succeed, whether it's at the major league level or on a Thursday afternoon in a you know, an MCC battle here in St. Louis, like we love it, right? We just love watching ball and watching our guys go out there and do really well. So I think that's the business model, man. You just have to really treat people well, and you have to do your job, right? Because that's how it's going to spread. Like, we don't spend money on marketing. Like, a couple of years ago when we did the ABCA convention for the first time, like, that was probably the first money that we ever spent on marketing, seriously. Everything else was word of mouth, right? We get more pro guys in, and they would always be from recommendations from guys who have been in the pro program, right? Same with college. Like, it's like, oh, now we've got, you know, 4 Iowa guys, and now it's 6, and now, you know, now we've got 3 Bradley guys, and now you get the idea. And it's just, it's like, oh, this guy told them that it was awesome. So, wow, we really appreciate that. Thanks, man. So,
yeah, that's huge. That's huge. I mean, that's kind of like an our industry as well, doing more of like the rehab component of things. It's like, you do a really good job with somebody or change someone's life, or maybe not that extent, but you know, they'll tell you, hey, this is the best my arm's ever felt. Then it's like, they're going to tell their friend or their teammate or their coach. And then they're going to know, hey, that's, I'm going to send, you know, I'm going to refer those people because I know they do it right. And they're, you know, straight shooters, and it's actually a really good, you know, quality service or product that you're getting out of it. It's huge.
It is. It's just one of those things where, like, especially in like the services that we offer, you know, both you guys and ourselves at P3, it's not all like it always seems really good, right? Like on the surface, but sometimes, man, you'll get somewhere and it seems good, and then it's like, oh man, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And it's like, once you find somewhere that's good, like you want to tell people about it, because yeah, you want them to get good experience, or you don't. Like, we've had some high school guys who will have, literally, they'll have like their friend come in and they'll be like, oh, you train here? And then be like, yeah, do you train here now? And like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. And literally I'll hear them like afterwards, and I'll kind of be like, hey, what was that all about? And they'll be like, yeah, like, I didn't want him to come in because it's like a secret, it's right? It's like, advantage. Yeah, it's a competitive advantage, right? It's like, it's like, man, like now we've kind of evened out the playing field a little bit. So I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, right? Like, so it's funny, but yeah, for the most part, it's always good pub. So
it's funny you say that, like, similar thing. My coworker Austin Panner trains a professional golfer, and and you know, in the golf world, it's like, it's a lot of, you know, referral and who you know. But like, yeah, this, he was like, you know, would you mind, you know, telling your, you know, your friends and other people? And he's like, not a chance. Yeah. He goes, this is my secret. Like, this is what is going to help put me ahead. Like, why would I even, that's the playing tough field?
You just got to tell those guys, hey, that's cool, but the price is going up next year.
That's exactly what you got to do.
That's it. That's that custom price point.
Yeah, that's tough. So, where, I should say this, who influences you? What are your influences?
Let's see. I mean, I guess from a performance standpoint, which I guess was kind of my background. So a big, not big, cause that can get taken the wrong way, like anything on social media, but, got into the PRI stuff at a pretty young age. So that was big for me. Tool in the toolbox, right? Like, yeah, we pick and choose and grab and take whatever we can to put together what we think is best. But that was a big one. Man, I gotta say, again, like, it's a little bit older than me, so I grew up following Eric Cressy a lot. Eric does a phenomenal job still, obviously, to this day, and we'll throw people each other's way depending on the proximity of where a guy reaches out from. Yeah, so I mean, those are some early influencers. These days, man, I just try to read as much as I can. It's tough. True. Like, as time, you know, dwindles, it'd be great if we could have 36-hour days, but I still try to keep my pulse on a good book at all times. So I just finished up, and people are gonna laugh and be like, dude, that was forever ago. The Culture Code,
yeah,
which was a good one. It's phenomenal, cool, right? One, yeah, like, good. Actually got the recommendation from Coach Woodard at Charlotte, and And I was like, man, it's been on my list for a long time, but I've, you know, you get so performance oriented. Yeah. And then for me, it was a big business push. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, this is business, right? Like your culture is like, you have to take care of your people in house if you want your people who are coming in to be treated well. Right. So that was a great read for me. Blake's book, digging into that, the MVP machine. Those are kind of the current ones. This is going to sound super corny, but Tony La Russa was a really big influencer, and I didn't
think that was coming.
No, I know, and I don't talk about it. Like, it's not like I go around telling this to everyone, because it's like, oh yeah, Tony and I are really close. Like, no, we're not close at all. Like, I've met Tony like twice.
Tony.
Yeah, no, that's not. Tony would be like, who the hell is Josh Kiesel?
Who's this guy?
But no, man. So like, and it's not anything like super in depth, right? Like it's, but La Russa used to always say in like interviews and stuff like that, he's like, look, you're going to be wrong. Like it's really two things that I took from him. I'm never going to take any credit for my players' successes. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not going to take any credit for their failures either. Right. So if you go out there and do a half-assed job, like I'm not going to, like, that's on you. Right. And the same way where if you go out there and all of a sudden you're an all-star, like, cool, you did that. That's significant. And the other one was always have a reason for what you do. And so like on field, that's really apparent. Right. But like, if you make a pitching change, you better have a reason, right? Because when you come back and you know, 50 people ask you why, you can at least say, here was my thought process, right? It didn't play out like that, and that's fine. I'm comfortable with that, but this was my thought process, and it makes sense in theory, right? And you can take that and adjust it to anything in life. So if I had made a decision about something, whether it was business or whether it was training or whatever, I was always ready to back it up with, hey, why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's always something I kind of come back to. I always think about that, especially. And so it wasn't anything like, you know, game strategy or anything like that. It was just like those two things really resonated with me.
Yeah. Have you read any of his?
Yeah, I've read them all.
The Buzz Bissinger?
Yeah, those are good. Those are good reads.
Yeah. Those are really good reads.
Those are the foxhole. And obviously growing up in St. Louis, like people, like he was kind of a lightning rod, man. Like people really hated him and then they really loved him. Right. And now like everybody loves him. It's like, yeah, like you guys, are you kidding me? Like it's a pretty talented dude. I have no idea like where he stands. It's funny, 'cause like he's still involved. Right. Like I would be really interested in where he stands on Simi, you know, or on Rap Soto.
He gets,
or
he's
whatever.
Been ridiculed for that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a little bit more of the old school mindset.
Right. And like, look, I get it. Right. Like totally. But it would be interesting because I think like, you know, take 35, 40 year old Tony. And I think he's probably right there. Right. Like he has that mindset. It's just, you know, it's the way the life progresses.
If you put him in the current state, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I bet you would.
I agree with you. So you mentioned the old school, new school, Eugene's book, Eugene Bleeker. Got a chance to speak at his event earlier this month. We're in August. Like, was that August? Maybe. It was August.
End of July. Or maybe early August. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it was around there.
Sorry, Bleek, if you're listening. Sorry. I think I told you this. He's like, hey, man, he's like, love for you to come out and speak. And I was like, oh, man, I'm like, I already got a thing. I was like, that would have been an awesome opportunity. I would have loved to have gotten back out there, especially after our trip out there. That was fun talking with those guys.
You didn't miss anything. No, I'm kidding. We had a good time.
We had
a good time. Oh, buddy. Eugene will be, he'll be speaking. We'll actually be doing hopefully doing a presentation or an interview with him before too long. He'll be one of our presenters this year. So
electric.
He's already, you know, let me know what he's speaking on. He's literally going to bring some thunder. It's going to be good. We have some, I've heard from probably three quarters of the presenters, and like all the presentations are just going to be insane. I'm so excited for this. It's going to be absolutely incredible.
I think, you know, we've obviously had a lot of conversations on it, but you always want something like this. Like, to me, like, this is a coach coming halfway across the country, all, you know, whatever it is. Like, I mean, our proximity helps out a lot, right? But I respect the hell out of that, right? So if I'm a young coach and I'm putting my own money, or if I'm putting a school's money, or a staff, like,
just the time,
yeah,
being away, like, it's hard being away from family, especially
got families,
in
right?
Your
like,
in,
yeah, like in your, and this is a, like, okay, so this is gonna be 2 weeks after ABCA, right? And we wanted to use that energy, like, that was one of the reasons why we said it when we did, right? So, but I can't tell you enough how much, you know, I think the preparation and the quality of work that goes into it, like, you can't disrespect the people that are coming in to, you know, they're spending money, they're spending time, which for a lot of these people is more valuable than money. Yeah. And so, if you're a guy out there or a girl or whatever, who's coming out, like, we're going to put our best foot forward, you know? And I think that that's a really big piece for me. Like, it's going to be a great event. And I know the speaker series that you put together, it's good, right? I mean, it's really good.
Yeah,
and it's going to be a very, yeah. It's going to be a very, open conversation, I think. Yeah. Right. And it's going to be, there's going to be practical sides to it. And demonstrations and things like that. Like, it's, we're going to get into it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is not going to be your typical podium, go up, this and that. Like, get ready to get in there and mix it up. And I think that's exactly the type of thing that a lot of people want to see.
Mm.
And I think it's a lot of, you know, a lot, honestly, a lot of the speakers, you know, if they're anything like us, like, they want that too.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, if you are interested at all in working with baseball or in baseball or whatever, if you are a athletic trainer, if you are a pitching coach, if you are a strength conditioning specialist or coordinator, or if you are a chiropractor or a physical therapist or whatever, like, this is literally set up from all these perspectives on how to work with baseball or in baseball and understanding each other's perspective. Like, if you want to be able to speak the same lingo that these other guys are speaking, this is how you're going to learn. Not only that, but we have some of the best people in the world at this. And they're going to be telling you what they do or what makes them special. Like, this is going to be insane. I can't even grasp it. It's going to be it's such a good event. And I had I took this as a massive compliment. Was I was working with one of our sponsors. By the way, we're going to have fantastic sponsors. I took one of the sponsors looked at the event list and he was like, you know what? Whenever you told me a little bit about it, I wasn't positive. I was wanting to be there. I've heard a lot of events that are, you know, doing something similar, not quite the same. But when I saw who the speakers were, he's like, I've never seen that group all in the same room at the same time. And I was like, well, thank you. They're going to be there. So, and he's like, I'm going to be there too. So I was like, well, good.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, that's the substance. Like, that's like, okay. Yeah. It's a great facility. Like, and it is, and it's awesome. Like, you walk in and you're like, wow.
Oh my gosh. Sweet. You're going to, anyone that's going to be there attending will be blown away by the facility that Josh and the rest of P3 have to use every day.
Yeah. It's a dream come true. I mean, that was literally the dream from the get go. And, to be able to have that is it's super special. Right. But the substance, man, the meat and potatoes are the people that are going to be there. And it's like anything else that we do in this game. It's about the people, right? And the people that you know and the people that you surround yourself with, you know, that's so significant. And so, being around, you know, 250 people who are like-minded and there to learn, and then being surrounded by another, you know, 15, 20 people who are there to help and there to kind of, you know, throw their hat in and say, hey, this is what we do and this is why we do it. That's special, man. I mean, think about how far the game has advanced in the last 5 years.
Mm.
It is unbelievable. And every year it goes by, you know, you continue to try to stay at the forefront, and you just wonder, like, what's next? And, you know, that's what this is about. It's about, hey, we're going to help you see what's next. We're going to help you be the best coach or trainer or whatever it is that you're doing. We're there to help, right? And I think that's part of that open conversation where it's like, man, let's collaborate and let's get together and make each other better.
It's going to be an intense 3 days.
No doubt. What a, gosh, 2-3 days. Holy cow. That's going to be a, party.
It's going to be good. Yeah. It's going to be real good.
For sure.
So let's circle back a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit, more about P3 and your guys' process. Sure. And more about what you're doing. So what would you say are some of the biggest challenges you face in a day-to-day setting?
We could take this one, one of a couple different ways. Like, I mean, if it's with the players, if it's with, people outside of the group, I mean, there's all kinds of fun stuff, right? To me, like, I mean, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't take it the player way, because that's what I preach. That's what's important, right? So for me, culture is a big thing. It depends, right? You've got a high school program, you've got a college program, you've got a professional program. I think our system works pretty well as far as the semi-private. I know a lot of people have started to switch to that. That's kind of how we've done it from the beginning. I think that allows your culture to kind of take over. Mm-hmm. And making sure that, and this is easy for us, right? But making sure that your staff does a good job of making sure they're on top of guys, making sure that they're, there's no miscommunication on things. And I think that's the biggest opportunity. And it's not something, like, I feel like we do a decent job of, but you can always get better, right? And that's the communication piece. And so when a high school player's got, two or three different sports that he's playing, and now everybody's trying to dip their hand in, right? So like the basketball coach has got him going through weights class, and he's got weights class in school actually too. And then, he's got a speed and agility coach, and he's got a lessons coach. And then he comes into P3, and we start asking questions when we sit down at the interview, and we get to all this stuff, and we're like, yo, like, what are you talking about? Like, you're 15. And it's like, here's the thing. Like, we will give you everything that you need, right, when it comes to being a baseball player. And if you're a basketball player, we're going to take that into account too, right? You're going to need some vertical, going to need some, some joint stabilization, like, great. But when it comes down to just making sure that a guy is on schedule for each phase of the off season, making sure that in conjunction with anything that he's doing at school, and that can be homework too, right? Like, if you're staying up until 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning doing homework or tests, like, go home. We have unlimited memberships for a reason. I want to be able to send you home on a Tuesday and have you come back on a Wednesday and be at a much better place to train, and you don't have to worry about, payment or anything like that. Like, you just come in when it's appropriate, and we stay on schedule that way. So
sleep's important.
Yeah. Sleep's hugely important, man. Sleep, nutrition. I mean, those are things that we absolutely address them at the interview process. So the first thing we do in the assessment, we're constantly asking about, how things are going. We've got tracking sheets that we've got guys tracking some different scores that they give for things. This is all part of that culture of education to the player. And so that's our biggest challenge, like, making sure that our players are educated to communicate with us. But then not only that, but when we're not there, when they're in season, or if they're a college guy and they go back to school or whatever it is, or a pro guy going to spring training, they are ready. They're ready to take it on their own. They've got a good routine. They know how to build, a workout. They can kind of survive on their own and do a good job. And that to me is, it's maybe not a big challenge for us, but it's just like the thing that we want to get across the most.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important. Personal question. What are your vices?
Hit me. Oh, my vices.
What's something you're like, man, I wish I didn't love this so much, but I'm stuck with it.
Man, that's a great question. Vices. This is going to sound super cliche, but I'm so busy right now. Like, I don't even get to have vices. Let me see here. I do ride a Harley. So that's probably, that's not a vice, but no. It's like, okay, I probably don't need to spend a bunch of money on, Harley or modifications to that or whatever. And, I don't know, man. I'm big cigar smoker, right? So that's, there you go. That's a vice, I guess, because that's not the healthiest thing to tell the kids. So, but yeah, Padron cigars, staring at a couple of them right now.
Yeah, but it's not an everyday thing. That's not a vice. No, that's like that's a once a month maybe thing. That's...
Man, I don't. Guys are going to be like, oh man, this is a good baseball guy, huh? I chewed Red Man for a hot minute when I was younger. I don't dip. I don't really get out and drink a ton. I do, like, I've got a lot of tattoos. But some people think that's a vice.
That might be.
Yeah, there you go. I've got some tattoos. The beard, like, is that a vice? I don't know.
It only depends if you're smuggling drugs in. That's the only one.
I did get stopped for about 30 minutes and my bag checked pretty hard on the way back from Charlotte. That was annoying. It ruined my good spot in line. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Your bag, and then they use it like a teaching moment. Fingers.
Yeah, they use it. No, seriously, dude. So we had seats 2, 3, 4, right? And I'm pumped. Like, it's the small things in life, right? And I get stopped by TSA for like half an hour, and I miss my spot in line. So,
So
I was like, I ended up being like 34 or something. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
You were half an hour with them?
Dude, it was like a teaching moment, right? So they had like somebody following the person working. Oh. They're like, okay, you do it like this. And I'm just like, I'm fuming, right? But if you say something, you're done, right? They're going to be like, sir, come with us. So I was just like wearing it. There's like three people in front of us. Some lady had some hair product that exceeded the ounce limit. And like, she's like, y'all can blame me. And I was like, I'm like, man, I'm not saying a word, actually.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was our, you know, everybody's got an airport story, right?
It's funny how hit and miss that is, because we were to Florida this summer, and I was with my wife, daughter, and brother-in-law, and we're at the Mid-America Airport, the small one here over in O'Fallon, Belleville area, next to the
Clutch
Air Force Base. Yeah, real good deals through Allegiant. Now you get what you pay for, but that's beside the point.
100p. Yeah.
But we're going through the security line, and she flags something in his bag, and he's got this like massive tube of hair gel that he just bought. He's like, I just spent $40 on this.
Oh, that's
like,
tough. That's
like,
tough.
I don't know. It was just expensive. Shave the head like 30 or 20 bucks, something like that. But she's like, well, I'm in a good mood, so if you squirt out enough to put it to where it might be 3 ounces, I'll let you keep it. So he takes it, and then he gets next to the bathroom and just...
Oh, man.
And he
hilarious.
Just squirts this. Eventually, he's like, I think that's good. And she looks at it, shakes it. Yeah, you're good. Go.
Sounds good. Well, like you said, you get a little bit what you pay for over there, but that's okay. That's good. Now, yeah, it's...
That was amazing.
That was, you know, we had a similar moment, actually. We had to get some deep dish. We had a layover in Chicago. And so we got...
Malnati's or Geno's East?
We went Malnati's.
Yeah, good call.
Yep. And it was phenomenal. I mean, but it takes forever, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And so we've got like a 3-hour layover, and it takes like an hour to figure out like, okay, here it is. Like, let's get there. So we sit down, and then we're like booking. And I thought back to our trip back to L.A., where we're sitting on top of the hotel, and we're just like, yeah, we got like an hour to get to the airport, and we're in LA. And yeah, oh, like, by the way, we're not in LA, we're in Santa Monica. Like,
that was
nerve-wracking. Yeah, and Bleak's just sitting there, and we're just dude, you just don't want to leave conversation like that. So, yeah, I had to think back to that for a second.
Oh my gosh. So, where do you think the industry is going?
Oh man, put your money where your mouth is, right? Mocap. I mean, that's a pretty simple one for us. And I think, you know, to be more specific, in-game data capture is probably the trend, right? So hopefully not too many of the people out there at the MLB level get mad at me with this. Everybody's gonna be like, oh, whoa, it's, you know, but the markerless was obviously something that we wanted to invest in. We wanted to speak a similar language, right? A common language between teams that were using it. We want to be able to provide, you know, for professional guys an off-season training home that they can come to and have the exact same technology that they have at the major, or they don't, and it's better, right? And same with your collegiate teams. I've had a lot of phone calls in the past couple weeks, like I said, to different schools out there who are either interested in purchasing their own or just like, hey, we would love for you to come out. And, you know, just starting to make plans like that for next year. But that's definitely, for me, that's where it's going. And I don't know. I think there's a sub point to that question. I do think that there's going to be more of a balanced coach out there, if that makes sense to you, right? Like, so like guys, you know, and I would not, like, I'd love to throw myself in there as far as this goes, but like, I didn't have quite the playing experience that some guys do, but I do have the baseball background, right? I know what a baseball guy goes through, right? I know how to talk to a baseball guy, but I also am really big into the sabermetric side of things. I think there's some really, really valuable stuff there. And I think there's, quite honestly, some really not valuable stuff there, right? And it's just like, meh. And then your tech, right? And all of, like, all the stuff that goes into that, like, I just find it fascinating. And to be able to apply that on a daily basis, like the whole picture too, right? Like, you need to be able to still communicate with a 35-year-old big leaguer who's got his, you know, his 10th year of service time coming up this season. And it's make or break, literally. Like, the rest of his life rides and dies with this season. And he's like, yo, I'm not really into this stuff, but I got to make it work. Mm. And it's like, okay, cool. We got that. We can do that. That's another thing, I think, that you're gonna start to find that a little bit more. I think you're seeing a little bit at the collegiate level now, where you've got a lot of ex players going back and coaching, and hopefully those guys do a good job of sinking their teeth into some secondary education stuff and being able to apply that to the game. I think that's incredibly valuable.
I 100% agree with you. And like along my line of things, as far as like what we do, I think we're going to see the advent of like the performance therapist, someone that works hand in hand. Like, so for me, I can, you know, get my hands on someone, do manual fascial work or do some type of joint manipulation, do whatever it needs. If their body's not responding the way it needs to, I can go in and actually make that change. And then also having more of a biomechanics and pitching mechanics background, knowing what they need to be doing and how it needs to look. And then knowing if they're not doing it right, the repercussions of it, and what we need to make sure is, you know, if you got a guy that's been around for a long time, he's not going to change a whole lot, but right. We can kind of, you know, meet the puck at where it's going and start working on strengthening, stabilizing areas that, hey, this is going to be an issue eventually if he keeps doing what he's doing. So, and on the other side of that, talking about you got these lifers that are kind of starting to do a little bit more into reading and educating themselves on the analytics.
Sure.
Being at a Sabre seminar a couple weeks ago up in Boston, shout out Dan Brooks and Sabre Seminar and Chuck Corb. They got an amazing event going on every year all about analytics and scouting. And there were quite a few former big leaguers that are working in with teams now that were up there just trying to learn. And now – I can't speak for them, but there were certain presentations where I'm like, I don't know any of this language. Like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that they're up there trying to learn is like, it really speaks volumes for where we're going.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah, there's stuff that I don't know about, right? Like, for sure. Like, there's the, like, when you start getting into the data side, like, I got into that. Oh man. And Dan Brooks done a phenomenal job for a long time. And I was disappointed that I couldn't go. We had the conflict with some of that seamy stuff, but man, honestly, like the data with R, like that's where I knew I was out. Like, like this is like 6-7 years ago, right? Like, and I'm in it, right? Like, I'm reading the book and I'm reading, you know, money, you know, dollar on the whatever, all that stuff, right? I'm trying to sink my teeth into all that stuff, and I get to the data with R stuff and I was like, okay, and I get it, and I was like, nope, I'm not that smart, like, and I'm not that smart with this stuff, right? It, right? Yeah, someone like I'm gonna, yeah, like I've got a lane and I know exactly where it's at, right? But that's okay, man, because there's really good people out there who do a really good job with that.
But also, it helps to know some of it though, so you can speak that language.
Oh yeah, like you've got to look, just look at an arbitration case,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, if you want to find out what's really being valued at the next level, listen to an arbitration case. Not that that's, you know, super public information, but like if you go over like some notes or talk to somebody about like an arbitration case, like, man, that stuff is being valued right? I mean, there's a reason why Trevor Bauer's like, yo, I got this, right? And he smoked his case, right? Like, and good for him. But that's, I mean, yeah, those are the things that are incredibly valuable. So if you're ignoring that, you know, at least do your due diligence, right? And look it up and be able to have a conversation on it. Mm. But I, you know, I get it. Like, some people, they might not agree with it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you've got to kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, and that's perfectly put. You got to at least know what's going on. Because if you're totally blinded, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, and people can see right through it, right? Like, if you sit down with somebody and start to have a significant conversation, it takes about 5 minutes if you know what's going on. Right. And if you're kind of looking around in the room like, oh, what's going on here? It's like, you're that guy. And, you know, and it's like, and so, you know, I think, again, that's just like, that's all we try to do is just, man, like, just get better every day, every month, every year that goes by. We're always trying to do something. Right. And it's fairly calculated. Like, you know, there's always some piece of tech that somebody's pushing you, or there's always, you know, this, oh man, check this out, check this new piece of equipment out, and what do you think about applying this? And it's like, yeah, it's like that looks really good, right? And yeah, we're gonna start to work with that. Or it's like, it's a little gimmicky, like, I'm not sure I get a good feel for that, and pass, right? But you better do your due diligence, otherwise you're gonna be left behind.
Yep, I agree. And it's weird now, because we're starting to see that trend of people that thought, oh, I was a shoe-in for this the rest of my life, and now they realize, oh crap, you know, it's totally like the board has changed.
Yeah, no, I think you're seeing, and I don't know if it's almost you know, it almost resembles like the athlete who's a stud growing up, right? Like, it's
exactly it.
They're 11, 12, and they're like the best. That's right, they're the best. Talent alone, like, it's nothing, right? And then all of a sudden, 15, like, guys are kind of catching up. 16, it's like, oh man, I need to get my shit together. And then, you know, 17, it's too late, and all of a sudden they're getting passed up. Mm-hmm. and now they're wherever, or they're not, and it's like, what happened? As soon as you let off the gas, man, as soon as you get complacent, you'll get found real quick, and you'll get passed. And so that's the thing, man. You got to have that drive. You've got to have that's why passion to me is so, like, if I talk to somebody, I want to see where their passion level's at. You know, if you're passionate, like, every year that goes by, I like the NFL a little bit less. I, you know, care as little as possible about the NBA a little bit less.
I couldn't tell you anything.
Yeah. And like, I know it, right? Cause I love sports. I surround myself with it, but, you know, love hockey the same. I'm not going to ditch my hockey, right? But I love baseball more and more every year. And the conversations that we have, they never get old. The watching a game, watching the ins and outs of it, like, man, I'm pretty satisfied with where the time limits or where the time is in games and all that stuff. I mean, you can cut the commercials out for all I care and add some more baseball. But you know, that's a big piece for me, the passion of the game. Like, I want to see somebody who's passionate about it, because that's going to tell me how their drive is going to be for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. What's a common thought in the industry that you think is totally wrong?
Oh, let's see here. Well, I'll piggyback off that. So, I would say that something, this might make some people angry, but, yeah, right. So, you know, not everybody's as cracked up, you know, as they seem on the social media, right? Like, to me, it seems like there are people who are getting hired straight off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's at least the way it seems. And it's like, man, like, I've met that guy. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and hey, like there are some really, 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 really good people out there. But I also think that it's like, wow, like, this is, like, to me, I kind of want to be in the trenches, you know? And I really don't. I don't have a whole lot of time for social media and stuff like this. Like, people ask all the time, like, you can do a podcast, you can do this. And honestly, I do love podcasts because they're just talking about ball. They're just talking about training, and that's outstanding. So maybe we can get a podcast going or something, but there's not a ton of time for that type of stuff. Like for me, it's like, look, again, back to the LaRussa thing, like players are out there doing the work. Either they are or they aren't. And if they do the work, then they deserve it. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say, man, hell of a job, right? Like Mitch Keller spun six, one run innings yesterday, 9 strikeouts. Like that's our original remote program member. Like that's awesome. And that kid's phenomenal. And the family's phenomenal. John, those guys are amazing. And we love that, right? Like that goes back to the foundation of what we built this thing on, man. Like we love our people, but I don't know. You see a lot of fluff out there, and I tend to stay away from it. If you're taking care of your people in house, I think it'll take care of itself.
So the thought being that Twitter, social media is overused?
No, which I agree. To each his own, right? But I think it's like if you're on Twitter and you put out a video of something or whatever, like you're an authority, right? And there are some people who do a really, really good job. Like for real. Like they've advanced the game, like blah blah blah. And then there are some people that it's just like, man, clearly you're just like trying to get a social media presence so you can like platform it, right? And it's like,
gotta stay relevant.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I'm about that. So like, I guess the thought is like, not everybody on social media putting out videos and this and that is an authority and should be viewed as like this perfect, like, hey, look, I'll be the first to tell you, like, we're not perfect. Right. Just in house is tough enough, keeping guys healthy and increasing performance and things like that. Like the more people that come at you, you know, the more things that you see and the more stuff you got to be prepared for. But, you know, you get on Twitter and Instagram and everybody's got a new exercise and they're doing this and everybody's got a new drill and all this. And look, I got to be honest, we don't put a whole lot of stuff out there. So I apologize to people that want stuff from us. But here's the thing. I don't know if what I'm going to put on there is right for you. Mm. And so to me, that's a little dangerous, right? I don't want little Timmy taking an exercise that, you know, looks super cool, right? And it's going to be really appealing to college guys. And then all of a sudden little Timmy does it, who's like 14, and he's jumped on Twitter and he sees it and he does it. And all of a sudden he's hurt. And it's like, man, like, and I get it. Again, like I know there's a ton of people out there who do a ton of content on it and they've advanced the game a lot. And kudos to you guys. And most of them are in the same breath of, you know, demoing an exercise. They're saying the same thing I am. Mm-hmm. So again, like kudos to them. But for us, we just didn't want to put information out there where we were like, man, it could be misconstrued or this and that. And we just kind of stuck with our guns of like, look, we're going to assess you. If you can't come in and assess, then, you know, okay, it's fine. It's okay. There's plenty of guys out there. That's okay. But if you can, we're going to give you the best possible player development plan that we possibly think we can be. And that's the goal. And so, you know, that's kind of why we've stayed away from it. And I guess, you know, you could say it irks me. It doesn't bother me a ton. I don't think about it a lot, but you just see so many people clearly pouring in a ton of time into posting videos and making things look as cool as they can and you know, eye-catchy stuff. And it's like, man, some of this stuff isn't that flashy. Mm. Some of this stuff is just, like, it's kind of boring. You got to come in 4 or 5 times a week. You got to come in 5, 6 times a week. And you got to put the work in. And you got to train when you don't feel like it. And you got to go out there and compete when you don't have your best stuff, and you better still compete or you're out of a job.
Yeah. But that's not sexy.
No, it's not. It doesn't catch. It's okay. I mean, hey, look, that's all right. By no means are we sexy, right? I mean, but I don't know. I mean, I guess part of me would say to that maybe we don't want to work with that person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a slight to anybody. That's just like, it might not be a good fit. And we get that a lot, right? Like, people will come in, they'll assess, and we'll look and we'll say, you know what? I'm not sure this is a good fit. And it's not because we don't like you. It's because we're trying to save you time and money and, you know, invested emotions and things like that. And I think that there's kind of a standard to train with P3, to be honest, but we don't want to sacrifice that just to look flashy on social media. That's for sure.
Nothing frustrates me more than when I chat with like a big leaguer and I ask, you know, where did you go for training this off season, or where are you going now, or whatnot? And they're like, oh, I'm going to go to this guy. And I'm like, really? Do you know anything about this guy? Like, this is who you're trusting your future on.
Yeah.
Like, well, they got some really good stuff on YouTube and on social media.
It looked really good, man. It looked really good on social media.
I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've seen this come back to bite more times than not.
Yeah, man. And it's always like, you know, we'll have athletes who they'll be in house and they'll be like, well, I was kind of thinking about this, and we'll talk to him. We'll talk him through, like, hey, look, that might not be the best thing for you right now because, you know, we saw this, and that in the assessment process. And I get it. Like, your buddy's doing it, and it's looking really cool and this and that, but it might not be the best thing. And then it's like, wow, you know, screw you guys. We're out of here. And it's like, no, that's okay. Like, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it can be tough, you know, to kind of stick with those guns, so to speak. It's really, really difficult to watch people do put stuff out there, right? And then it's like, man, you see, you know, people gravitating towards it, and you're like, oh, okay, we're just going to keep doing what we do.
So if people wanted to know a little bit more about your knowledge or kind of where you get all of your inspiration, what resources would you recommend to others?
Yeah, so you know, back to the first couple that I mentioned, those are good ones. PRI, I mean, again, somebody who does put out some fantastic content and always prefaces it with that assess first concept, Eric, and you know, he's got it's like your Belichick's, right? He's got a lot of coaches out there who've expanded the game. I would say from a pitching standpoint, and this is one that gets picked a lot, but honest to God, when it first came out, I was at the ABCA convention and I was like, you know what? I need to get my feet wet on the pitching side. Like, I was a performance coach, right? I was an on-field coach, but I really wanted to dabble in the pitching side. In DJ's book, you know, Derek Johnson, that was a good one. And I know Kyle Bodie will put it out there and say that, and he's right. He is. And it's a great read for guys who are really just kind of looking to get fired up in this industry. Like, that's your baseline guy who's just coming in. That's awesome.
Kind of helps build a foundation for you.
It really does. Yeah. And like I said, like, it's nothing fancy, but it's very digestible. It's very clear cut. It's right here. You can kind of expand on it on your own, right? And start to make things your own. That to me was a good read. And that was a long time ago. I'm not sure if that was 2014, maybe.
He was at Vanderbilt then.
Yeah, I think it was 14, man, because I think that was the Rapsodo convention when Rapsodo first came out. I think that was it, and I snagged it.
Was that 15?
Maybe. They run together, man. I got to be honest. I think it might have been 15, yeah. I don't know. I go back to 12 with walking into a room with Ron Wolfworth and Brian and a bunch of other dudes, and it's like 12 to 15 guys, and I'm just like, oh boy, I'm really out of my element here. And I just sat there and took notes for like 2 hours straight.
That was like the ABCA this last year at that party baseball cloud through.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it was you and myself at a table, and then there was Randy Sullivan and a few other guys, and you look around and like everyone that's an influencer that like knows kind of what they're doing.
Sure.
Was there. Also, really cool. Shout out to KD and Baseball Cloud. They're also going to be one of our sponsors here coming up.
I mean, that's it, man. We always talk about it like the convention. Like, one of the best parts about the convention is conversations afterwards, right? Like, everybody would know. And like, you sit around the hotel and you talk, and then you get a party or two going. And
it is the most important aspect.
I mean, for that, yeah, it really is. Like, for the convention itself, like, and again, ABCA is awesome, right? I love it. Like, they've been there for me throughout the career of coaching and career. And, man, I've learned so much just from like side conversations, right? And when you host a booth, like we've gotten to do the last couple of years, like having everybody come off or come around and getting to know people and getting to meet people, like I wouldn't trade that for the world, right? Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely alone worth the price of admission. And then you start talking about speakers they get up and things like that. I mean, it's an awesome event. I mean, that's so, of course, again, that's, like I said, that's the energy that we're trying to work off of there with this event.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, we're 2 weeks out. We're like, okay, probably not going to do back-to-back weeks. Right. And we're going to give you a little rest week.
Yes.
And then you come back and trust me, we're all going to be fired up.
Oh, it's going
to
be.
And, nuts. Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's a great time to do it. And, we're all going to be pumped up from the convention.
And this is going to sound bad because I do some, like I present at events and stuff and you'll give presentations and whatnot. But I had a coach reach out to me recently and was like, hey, what do you think about the ABCA convention? Is that worth my time? Like, do you know any of the speakers? I'm like, okay, this is going to sound bad. I have no idea who's going to be speaking, but it doesn't matter.
No.
Because the gold is in the private conversations you can have with people.
Well, here's the thing. Like, that's not a slight to any of the speakers, right? Because those speakers are the same type of guys we are. Like, and they understand that when you get 7,000 plus coaches there, that they're like, not everybody is quite where some coaches are, right? Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, you have to appeal to your demographic, exactly. Right? Yep. If you have 5,000 coaches who are coaching at high schools or whatever, like, you have to respect that. And so you need to appeal to everybody in your speech, right? Or in your talk. And so, like, I get it, man, you know, but those guys, you get them alone at the restaurant or at the bar and you start to have a conversation with them with a group of, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys. And it's like, oh boy, they'll expand on their talk quite a bit, I'm sure.
But do not go talk with Eugene Bleeker unless you have already had about 15 Red Bull and vodkas or you're taking some type of stimulant because you're going to be up till 4 a.m.
No.
And it's going to get aggressive and there's going to be some shouting and you guys are all going to hug and make up afterwards, but it's going to be a very powerful conversation where all everyone's thoughts and ideas come out on the table. And like, it'll be, I think last year it was I remember Eugene and, Randy Sullivan, Florida Baseball Ranch was there. And then, I'm blanking. There was a handful and I show back up cause I was, you and I had went and got a drink and mm-hmm. then I show back up and there they are still sitting. It's been like 6 or 7 hours that they've been sitting at this one table. And then I check back up in the morning, like, yeah, we're out there till 5. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Look, it's absolutely going to be an electric factory when you talk to Eugene and hey, a lot of guys, right? Like, I mean, you're going to have some great conversations and I love it, right? Eugene stopped by the booth and sat down for gosh, I don't know, 15-20 minutes, and I think that was honestly the first time that I met him. And and that's exactly what I'm talking about, right? Like, mm-hmm. guys walk by, it's so funny, and I don't think I mentioned this to Robert, but so we had Austin Miney, our pitching director, big shout out to Austin. He's been doing a phenomenal job for us. He wore it like the first real day of the convention. Had the Mexican buffet there over like at the Gaylord. Was sick, like for real, like got like some real, like, dude, I like, of course he would have been there if good. So he's banged up. He's in the hotel room, like, and so I'm down and I'm like by myself. And so I've got like 4 or 5 people at least talking to me at the point. And I see Robert walk by and he's kind of staring at the booth. And I look and I'm like, I think that's Woodard from UNC. And I was like, man, I'm like, I am trapped here. Like, I'm not going anywhere. And he's going to walk away. And yep, there he goes. All right, we'll catch him later. And it was like, it's just one of those things where like you think back and like you remember those conversations. You remember the people that walk by and if you're into it, like that's the type of stuff that makes it super valuable. So I love it. All the guys down there, again, you'll have some great conversations, and that's exactly what we want to have at the World Pitching Congress.
Yep. But hopefully a little bit more intimate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hopefully that becomes a 2-3 day conversation like we're talking about. Yeah. I think that's really the goal.
Yeah.
I think that's when you plan out something like that, like that's what you want, right? And so you can have some intimate conversations, some follow up, some things like that that really go to expand. And honestly, your conversation might take a right turn that you didn't expect, and that's okay, because you're probably gonna learn a lot at that point, right?
So I think the other side of that is, just judging from the people I've already heard from that said they will be there, like sitting amongst these people will be quite a huge deal as well.
I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you there are going to be multiple people in that crowd who are way more qualified than I am to talk at that event.
I've already thought about that. Yep.
You know what I mean? And, myself, and that's okay.
I know, but
I mean, you know what I mean? Right, and that's though. So, look, we know you guys are going to be there. Like, hopefully we don't let you down too much, because I think, you know, that's exactly the type of crowd that we want. So that's that's the type of crowd that I fully expect. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, again, not a slight to anybody, but I don't necessarily think this is going to be like the 5,000 coaches at the ABCA who are just kind of cracking in and this and that. Like, we want this to be a little bit of an elevated conversation.
I would call this an elite crowd.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to dissuade somebody from coming by any means.
No, you want to be there.
Yeah. I mean, like,
you
if you
talk with these people,
right. If you want to get there, like if you're like, man, this really sounds like the event like that I really need to get to, then do it. Because I think you're going to find yourself surrounded by people just like you, where it's like, hey, we're all just looking to get better, and we're not going to, you know, look, again, take a look at the speaker lineup. Egos are gone, right? Like, yes. You're like, I have pretty much built my coaching character around toss the ego out and let's get better and let's collaborate with good people. And that's it.
That was an important aspect, even in like putting the speakers together. It was like, listen, and then my initial email to everybody was, okay, egos are left at the door.
Yep.
We're all equal.
Yep.
Let's bring it.
I think that's a huge deal, man. And hopefully that's a little contagious, because I think, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily the approach that some people have.
Not at all.
And so that can be tough. That can make it tough. And so, hopefully that rubs off on some people, and hopefully that's the approach that the speaker series, you know, kind of presents. And then again, I think that's what's really good for the game to me.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, man, this was a great conversation. This is exactly what I expect out of like a podcast that I would put together, where it's like, we're just going to talk, open it up, open the mic up. Let's have, you know, we got maybe a, I don't know, two or three questions that we were looking at hitting. And then all of a sudden we're talking about getting our bags checked at the airport.
It's the squirting all your hair.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But I love it, right? I mean, that's just, you're just talking, right? And that's okay. I think that's what podcasts are for, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like,
well, it's like, think about all the information you have in your head that you forget about.
Yeah.
And then something triggers it, and then just you vomit it all. You know, it all comes out. 100%. Ah, there it is.
And it's like, oh my God, we just caught that on video, or not video, but on tape. Like, mm-hmm. Wow, we can come back to that. Sweet. Like, I've been meaning to write that down.
Exactly.
Nah, it's good.
So where can people learn more about P3?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, we're still terrible at marketing. We do have a website, P3stlewis.com, just like the city. Letter P, number 3. And we try to keep it simple, man. Like, we tell that to everybody. Like, you'll see it on there. Like, you basically get to the point where, you know, you look at the different programs. If you click on a program, it'll get you a point to fill out a questionnaire, and you're going to email that over to info@p3stlewis.com. It's about as simple as it gets. Twitter and Instagram, P3_STL is the handle for both. Again, don't expect a ton of content.
I'm the same way.
Dudes being dudes, really, is what it's about, right? Like, we're going to put out, you know, if a guy's like, I have absolutely no shame in putting out, you know, Jeff Hartley making his Busch Stadium debut. That's awesome. We've had, I think the number's up to 7 MLB debuts this year. Like, it's been a special year.
And, it's not bad.
I mean, well,
gives you a number to build on.
I mean, yeah, right. Wait, we're always looking to get better, right? But no, but in all seriousness, like, those guys worked their ass off this winter. Like, that group was outstanding. Not even close. Best pro group of our existence. And not just because we had a bunch of dudes, because we had a bunch of dudes who cared, who after a while started to care about each other and push each other. Just conversations are through the roof. The work ethic was through the roof. Nobody thought they were better than anybody else. Everybody was just there to get better. And it became really quick. You know, it was very apparent to guys who, you know, if they came in a little bit later or something like that, it's like, oh, that's the feel here. Like, I need to check the ego here too, because we're all just here trying to get better.
Can you give the people a little teaser about what you might be talking about here in January?
Oh, man. I'm not going to lie. I have several different ideas, but I haven't honed it in.
Okay.
And I think it's more so, I want to, like, number one, I don't want to let everybody down, right? That's always what goes.
I'm putting
your head.
A lot of pressure on the presenters.
Yeah. Like, no, it's good. No, well, we've talked about this, yes. Right? Like, we want people. So, like, I feel like I'm behind, and it's August, and the event's not for another like 5-6
and
months.
Then, yes.
But that's how we should feel.
Yes.
Right. So
you want this to be actually high quality. I don't want to hear anyone say a month before, "Hey, I'm still working on this," or you know, the day of, like, "Hey, just finishing up." No, this is, I want you 4 months done in advance, have a pretty good idea, and then just bring everything you got.
Look, I think that goes back to the respect conversation for your audience, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. Like, I really respect the hell out of people wanting to come to this. Like, if you spend your hard-earned money and you take your time out, like, that's incredible. So, yeah, I haven't honed it in. Like I said, I got about 2-3 ideas that I'm really simmering on, and I just want to make sure that I can get as specific as I really want to. So I'll get there though.
You're gonna crush it. I don't have any doubt.
Well, hopefully the group can help. You know, I mean, I'd love to open up. That's part of what I want to do, right? It's just like, hey, what are you guys looking at here? Like, okay, I'm talking this for 15, 20 minutes. Like, I want to spend 10 with you on it, right? And then let's talk something else for 15, 20, and then let's talk 10 on it, right? And we might get a little practical too. We'll see. We'll see where I end up landing, but I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a really fun conversation, and amidst another, you know, 15, 16, 17 other fun conversations. So.
Oh yeah. All right, guys. So, the World Pitching Congress, January 17th through the 19th. We are selling limited tickets. Like, this is not just an infinite number of tickets. So, like,
awesome facility, but it's not 100,000 square feet. So we want to make sure that we're comfortable in there when we're all sitting down.
Get yours now, because I know before too long we're gonna have groups of 4, 5, 6, 7 people from organizations saying, "Hey, we're sending a whole crew over." I've already heard from groups. Like, I know it's coming. Make sure you get your spot before that all starts happening.
I had our hotel contacts. We've got two hotels that are run by the same, you know, group sales lady, and she stopped in yesterday, just like kind of ran in, and then followed up with an email saying, "Hey, we've got people calling about this event. You didn't even tell us about it." And I'm like, "Okay, again, like, I'm trying to hone down my presentation, lady. Like, get off my back here.
You don't realize what's more important."
So again, apologies to you guys out there who have purchased tickets and are trying to you know, make the travel arrangements and things like that. But we'll get
have
there.
That up soon.
Oh yeah,
very
definitely.
Soon.
There you
so,
go.
And so. you can go to gestaltperformance.com. It might be / World Pitching Congress. Either way, just go to gestaltperformance.com, and it's there's a link for it up there, and then you can just click on the register button and you're good to go. And we'll have all the hotel information up very shortly, if it's not already up by the time this gets posted. But yeah, so that'll give you a little bit better idea on where to stay and what to do. And we do have at least one that has a free shuttle to the event, so that's something to consider. But there's going to be some pretty good deals.
No doubt.
Cool. All right. January 17th through 19th. Mark it now. Put it in your save the date. We will see you there. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
And there you have it. Again, we're both just incredibly excited about the potential of this whole event. The speakers, the ability to not only have lectures, but hands-on demonstrations for them to show you why they're the best in the world at what they do. And just this venue is going to be a world-class, just absolutely perfect for this particular, the setup's going to be absolutely perfect for this venue, or for this event. So we can't ask for any more of the potential of what we have. So again, we're excited about it. It's going to be an amazing event, January 17th through the 19th. That's 2020. Get your tickets now. If you're a player or coach and you're looking for a more efficient way to warm up, check out our free dynamic warm-up ebook. This warm-up consists of evidence-based movements revolved around neuromuscular stability and fascial slings. You can download it off of our website or just go to the Gestalt Performance Twitter page and follow the link.